Hello and welcome to Era on Air. Today's episode is an adaptation of the cover story of the December 2018 issue of Ecolibrium, Era's industry journal. This is episode number 3, and today we're going deep on one particular project, which was a finalist in this year's Era Awards. But this project also relates to a wider topic in the HVAC in our industry, and the wider built environment. If you live in a city and look out over the skyline, or even just picture one in your mind, that image will likely include at least a few cranes, perched atop a scaffold-draped building in construction. This is an image that's currently unescapable in Australia's capital cities, and indeed cities across the world, because we're in the midst of a global urban building boom. But what about all the buildings we already have? Today's project is an example of a pre-loved building, and if you've got a favorite pair of pre-loved boots, or you've heard a friend rave about their pre-loved bag from a vintage store, you've got a head start on this idea. The number of buildings in the world is huge, and a lot of those buildings don't get much love. But today we're bringing you a story about one particular building that got lucky, and that got some much-deserved TLC. I'm your host, Mark Spencer, and this is Era on Air. If you were to float down the Brisbane River, past the city center, under the cluster of bridges stretching to Southbank, past West End and Kay's Rocks, after rounding a few corners, you'd reach a peninsula, surrounded by the river on three sides. This peninsula is home to the University of Queensland and the university's law school. At the center of that school is a building with a long history, which was built as the visual focal point for the entire university. But recently, its story and its grandeur were nearly sent to the history books. The Forgan Smith Building was completed at the tail end of the 1930s. For a time, it was home not to future attorneys, but instead to the Australian Army, who used it as a headquarters during World War II. With the war over, it was returned to the University of Queensland's Law Department, and its days as a law school began. To picture the Forgan Smith, imagine a law school building in your mind. Ivy-covered walls, pillars, maybe even a dome. Got an image in your mind? Good. Now throw that image away. Forgan Smith looks like a law school, crossed with a castle. There's a parapet. The walls are sandstone. The only pillars create a shady walkway along the front of the building, allowing the breeze to relieve some of the Brisbane heat. But what of the interior of this long three-story building? Its parapet rising above to look across the campus grounds. How comfortable was a law school built in the 1930s?
I would say it was a lot darker than the finished product is now. It sort of had this sort of 60s, 70s feel to it.
That was Danny Roberts, who we'll be talking to soon, on the condition the building was in just a few years ago. The building was showing its age and its era. In many cities and in many countries, when a building becomes dated, the obvious and sometimes only option is demolition, and replacement with something new. But the Forgan Smith Building was built to last.
So back then, generally a building just would have been ventilated, but these buildings, as you mentioned earlier, are sandstone construction, and that's a really thick block type of material, and that has a really high thermal inertia. So in regards to the climate that the building is in, which is in Brisbane, Queensland's very humid and hot, that thermal inertia really helps with keeping the building cool. So it wouldn't be comfortable to the standards that we would expect today. However, back then they might have found it quite comfortable as a result of that sandstone construction.
So the structure itself was well suited for its surroundings, but to the people who used it, who attended lectures in it, who taught in it, who were trying to study in it, the space was uncomfortable. It was too hot and humid without air conditioning, and that very equipment, when being used, was making quite a bit of noise. But rather than starting again and lose its iconic centerpiece, the university decided to go to great lengths for this pre-loved building. We spoke to Danny Roberts, lead consultant on mechanical services for Oricon on the Forgan Smith Building, to find out what happened to modernize the Castle of Law.
Hi, I'm Danny Roberts. I'm Senior Mechanical Engineer at Oricon. We were engaged by the University of Queensland to look after the engineering building services design of their new School of Law. My role was the Lead Mechanical Engineer, looking at heating, ventilation and air conditioning.
So, Danny, tell me about the Forgan Smith building before the renovation process started in 2015. How much time did you actually get to spend in the building as it was?
So we started the project off by doing a site inspection. We had a look at the as-built information, then basically walked through the whole building. So first impressions, the building had lots of long corridors, lots of little smaller office-type spaces, a few big meeting areas, and air conditioning plant was sort of spotted throughout. And you could see over the years it had changed. So there was a traditional, perhaps original installation, which was up on the top floor, and a big plant room, huge footprint, and then smaller units in the ceiling spaces looking after seminar rooms, meeting spaces, all different generations, different types. Some of it was air-cooled, some of it was connected to the chilled water system. So a real range going on there. And you could see that the building and the layout was really not sort of what we would call modern and maybe not best for university students and collaboration.
So the building had a lot of features and heritage aspects, like we just discussed, Danny, that made the project more complex, and structural elements had to be retained, but the interior was completely redesigned. I understand the ductwork was especially complex for this.
Yes, the existing building had quite high ceilings. The architect and the heritage consultant and the client were really keen to maintain high ceilings because it just makes the space feel more open. So with that in mind, we had to try and figure out a solution that basically kept the ductwork small. And we also had other services crossing over. So we had cable trays to coordinate with a siphonic stormwater drainage system, which had these big pipes cutting across the building. So all that coordination, we had to make ducts fit while also getting air to all of the spaces. So we, to get around this, we sort of designed more plant rooms across the footprint of the floor, so we had shorter duct runs, and then we could keep the ducts smaller.
I think I learned a new word just then. I just want to make sure I understand what it means. So siphonic relates to stormwater drainage, if I got that right?
Yes, you have.
Excellent. I always love getting to learn something new. That's brilliant. So you mentioned before about the huge footprint of the old plant rooms in the building and going to these more numerous but smaller plant rooms with shorter duct runs. How much smaller was the overall footprint of the plant under the renovation than before?
I would say they were just more placed in more efficient areas. So, for example, there was a fire stair and we used the space behind that and sort of converted into a plant room, a long, narrow plant room, and stacked air conditioning units so that a zone that couldn't be an office or part of a library or used architecturally was used as a plant room space.
Compared to the old plant room, though, Danny, do you know what that space became? Because that sounds like a sizable amount of space that could have been used for something more useful.
So the old plant room actually became part of the library. So there's a row of seminar rooms, which are all separated, and sort of study spaces for students.
So that space is now being used, and that's great. So that's one of the sort of the victories gained in this renovation project. So space in that building is actually being used for useful purposes again for the university.
Yeah, so we actually went away from a lot of the long corridors they had and created more sort of open spaces, which sort of goes towards that collaboration goal, which the university was looking for.
How different was this from being given the design for a new building and just asked to build it, Danny, and being tasked with working around the existing building?
It's always more difficult to basically fit out an existing building. And I guess the reason for that is that you're constrained by the existing footprint. Even if you pull all the walls out and, you know, basically pull it back to its shell, you still have those constraints.
It was mentioned in the article that louvers and all the other usual air inlets, you weren't able to use them for this project, or they posed a problem because you had to maintain the look of the building, which had this, you know, smooth sandstone facade. Do you know how air was actually brought into the building before?
Yeah, so a lot of it was brought in via the top level, which has a brick wall that runs around the top. There were a couple of smaller louvers, but they were painted black and concealed. The existing building was just windows and the sandstone on the outside. And with our new project, we were putting plant rooms into spaces that had windows. So we had to look at how we could conceal our plant, because you don't want to look in through a, you know, a clear window and see a big piece of ductwork. So we had to make sure we came up with solutions for where we brought the air intakes in, and that we also treated that glass so that you couldn't see the plant room behind the glazing.
So, Danny, I noticed in the article that the project used minimal ceiling space to aid improved maintenance and access. Now, how much less ceiling space is being used now than before? And how much floor space was used before compared to now? And how is this achieved? So how has the ratio changed?
So it's probably more around that safety side of things. So we really tried to get anything out of the ceiling so that no one had to be up on a ladder adjusting or, you know, getting up to maintain a fan or servicing an air conditioning unit. By having numerous plant rooms on each floor, we put all the equipment back in the plant rooms, and we use VAV diffusers in each of the office spaces. So we virtually don't have any access requirements into the ceilings. The only exception to that is to get up and clean ductwork. So everything in the ceiling is just ductwork, and anything else that needs to be maintained or adjusted is back in the plant rooms. So our plant rooms have heaters, they have the AHU, the switchboards, everything's all back there so that the contractor can go do their maintenance there.
Now, this next question might sound like I'm trying to catch you out there saying that there isn't any equipment in the ceiling other than ductwork, but it's also just a really cool part of this project where you've got this atrium space, which is, it's a 2 or 3 story open space.
3 story.
That's being cooled in a really cool way, which I want you to tell me about. But there's also a fan on that ceiling. Is that right?
No, it's actually on a plant room on the top floor, right by the stairs and behind the rubbish bins. Is a fan that just draws air in through this nice perforated wall and then blows it out the side of the building.
Brilliant. All right. So for listeners, can you kind of paint us a picture about what we're talking about here? So we got this 3-story open space called the atrium. And how is this big volume room being cooled in that building?
Yeah, so it's an open space, like a staircase, which students can walk up and down. And there's also a few study areas, so desks set up so people can sit there. It's mostly a transient space. So with that in mind, we decided that it could be naturally ventilated. So we modelled this up and had a look at the options with naturally ventilating it and then potentially just trickling the mechanical ventilation. And then we decided it would be a good way to relieve the air from the air-conditioned spaces. So we've just basically got transfers from the air-conditioned spaces either side of it on each floor. So imagine basically air just flowing, air-conditioned air, flowing out of the air-conditioned spaces into the atrium, and then with the fan on the top floor, it just slowly draws the air up through the atrium, taking the hot edge off the space.
Probably leads me into the good question, Danny, that I noticed in the article you were targeting an ambient temperature inside the building, or maybe it was just of the atrium, of 26 degrees. Now, to a Melbourneian like me, despite the accent I have, that doesn't sound like a very comfortable indoor temperature. Is that sort of a normal kind of targeted temperature in Queensland, or is that because of the higher outside temperature you have up there?
Yeah, so we actually designed the air-conditioned spaces to 23 degrees, which is standard for the campus.
That sounds very civilized.
Yeah, but for the atrium, given it was a transient space, we decided to set the fan at a temperature of 26 degrees, which is adjustable. So if it wasn't acceptable, we could have, you know, changed the speed of the fan so it would turn on to full flow at, you know, 23 degrees. But we thought we'll go with 26 and see how comfortable it is. And a lot of that was helped by the thermal inertia of the sandstone. So, you know, that you get a big solar load and it really doesn't heat up the atrium at all. So far, from what I've seen, it hasn't really gone much above that 26. And when it does, the fan goes on. So yeah, it seems to be working okay.
Danny, did you enjoy working on this pre-loved building project more than a new build or less? Or how did you feel about it?
To be honest, we had a really fantastic team on the project. So it was a really enjoyable project. One of my favourites to date, to be honest. So UQ is really easy to work with, and Bevy and the architect they're fantastic. Very open to, you know, our engineering needs and requirements. Just a fun team. So I really enjoyed it.
In general, about pre-loved buildings, I know that, you know, ERA is very for them for the sake of sustainability. But are there times in your experience where rejuvenation of a building makes less sense than the demolition and replacement of a building?
Well, to be honest, it often it doesn't come down to the mechanical plant. So it normally just comes down to, I guess, how sound the structure is and how good a condition the building is. So personally, I would prefer to rejuvenate something than knock it down and start again. But it comes down to, you know, decisions above me, unfortunately. So,
but for the layman like me sort of coming into this from the outside, there's never a situation where just the mechanical engineering aspects of the building are so far gone that they're not fixable or that wouldn't be feasible or maybe even make sense to fix them if the building is structurally sound.
For mechanical services, over time, things do deteriorate. You can always fix components, but I think these days with package plant and modular systems out there, it comes down to cost. So it would probably be cheaper to replace things a lot of the time. And I think that's where the decisions come from.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously with new technology, things run much more efficiently. You know, things have VSD controls. You can pick a system that's more suited to maybe the new operation of the building. So I guess you could argue that it would be great to refurbish what's there and existing and reuse it. However, costs would probably push it more to the replacement side of things.
Danny, it's been great having you on. Thanks so much for coming on to tell us about this project, and we wish you all the best for future endeavors.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. It's been great sharing my knowledge on this project.
So the Forgan Smith building was never at significant risk of demolition and replacement. Sorry for taking some dramatic license there at the start, but its heritage listing, which means protected status, and the importance of its history to the university really saw to that. It's worth pausing, though, to just consider how common that thinking is, of tearing something down rather than doing it up. ERA has opinions on that prevalent way of thinking in the industry and plans to help change it. Here's Phil Wilkinson of ERA to tell us more.
I'm Phil Wilkinson, the Executive Manager of Government Relations and Technical Services at ERA.
Phil, we've just been hearing the story about one particular pre-loved building, but I'm wondering, what's ERA's take on pre-loved buildings in general?
For quite some time, ERA's been really progressive and proactive on reducing emissions. In the early 2000s, we were looking a lot at sustainable buildings, new green buildings, and then we had a light bulb moment in one of our conferences, recognising that over 90% of the built environment was already there. If we didn't pay a lot of attention to that, then we were missing a lot of opportunities to reduce emissions. When we started burying into that more, there's a lot of aspects of poor maintenance, poor operation, turning out the buildings weren't being commissioned in the first place, so really, really big opportunities to reduce emissions in those buildings. So since then, we ran a whole series of national conferences. We're part of a mid-tier working group that's looking at the issues in the, not the top end of town, the next level down, which really lack focus from an engineering or facility manager perspective.
For a layman like me, Phil, the Forgan Smith building at the University of Queensland, where would that fit within that upper end of town, middle tier, bottom up? Where does that kind of project sit in that spectrum?
Places like universities, the university owns the building, so that's a really big positive because they've got a vested interest in making sure that it runs well because they're paying the bills. The top end of town I'm talking about is more commercial buildings. So for a university, they're paying their own bills, so they've got this vested interest in reducing bills but also providing great spaces and places for their students.
How big of an opportunity do you think are pre-loved buildings to the HVAC industry?
We believe that pre-loved buildings present a massive opportunity. There was a seminal piece of work done by Sustainability Victoria, which demonstrated there was an average of 28% energy savings through just taking an existing building, getting the controls right, tuning those, doing maintenance. So almost a third of the energy use is there for the saving, which is straight up a bottom line of a business. You know, if a business has want to save that money, they'd have to earn three or four times that to have that sort of return. So we're saying, get in your plant room, start showing it some love, make your refrigeration mechanic your best friend. Start with the simple stuff, which is measuring and understanding where the energy's going.
So there we are. The Forgan Smith building at the University of Queensland has been given a new lease on life. The rejuvenation work by Danny and the team has given it another 40 years, at least. Energy savings to the uni and a higher level of comfort for its users. That'll carry the Forgan Smith well past 100 years of use. Rejuvenating existing buildings has a whole bunch of benefits, some of which we weren't even able to cover, like conserving the embodied energy that went into its construction, and saving material from going to landfill. But it's also the intangible things that we keep when we save old buildings. The memories, the history. And as Danny said, in some cases a building with better materials than a lot of new ones. If we're going to keep up with demand going forward, while reining in some of the industry's unsustainable practices, we'll not only need to build better new buildings, but also love our old ones just a little more. If you've enjoyed today's episode and want to learn more about this project that was a finalist in the ERA Awards for Best HVAC Retrofit or Upgrade, check out the cover article of Ecolibrium, ERA's industry journal, for December 2018. And we'll be back next month with another story. Have a great day.